I think is on the decline, which is leading to a lot of the unhappiness in the world. I believe the quickest path to happiness is
attention is the number one asset.
Oh, hello, Gary.
Good to see you.
Thank you so much. So much for being here. This podcast exists because of you, and it's all about teaching people how to stand in their confidence. So I'd like to ask you, confidence to me, I love the definition. It's a Latin definition. It stands for self-trust. So how have you been able to create such an amazing trust in yourself and belief and confidence? And how did your upbringing and your family and your mom and your beautiful community as a child help you do that?
That's a great question. First of all, thank you for having me on the podcast.
I love you. You're the best.
You know, I think about this a lot because I think I really do see the world through the lens of confidence versus insecurity. And I believe most of the pain and the hurt and the anger and the darkness in our society is completely based on insecurity. I think about it a lot. I define it in a couple quick ways. I think first and foremost, I do believe there is a heavy part of the DNA that you're born with that is a variable. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that if somebody's born, if they're both confident, not confident, one is, one isn't, that they can't be a different version of themselves. But I do believe DNA is a factor. I think parenting is a major factor.
Yes.
Now, this is where in modern times, especially the last 20 years, we've lost our way. I think a lot of modern parents believe telling their kids they're great at everything leads to confidence. And I think we've overcorrected. You know, we came from the era of where your parents didn't tell you they loved you, right? Like the 60s that people talk about that. And now we're in an era where people tell you can do anything and the kid knows they can't. And we've got to find the middle.
Yeah.
My mom was incredibly influential. You know, I speak about that a lot.
Yeah.
And what she did well was she found the middle. You know, in a world of black and white, she found the gray. In a world of blue and red in politics, she found the purple. She made me feel good. But what she didn't do was manipulate merit. When I struck out in a baseball game and tried to say that it was the sun was in my eye as an excuse, she wouldn't support that. She always knew that I would make it, but she still punished me for bad grades.
Yeah.
So she'd say, you're going to make it, and taught me that there wasn't ramifications for mailing it in. So in her grounding of me, she was teaching me that things have consequences, but they don't define you. She was finding the middle.
Beautiful.
The way I think about confidence has a lot to do with risk and executing on risk. This is why I'm very upset about eighth place trophies. I believe that if we tell everybody that games don't matter, then we're confusing them. That's not how nature works. I think I have a lot of confidence because I failed a lot.
Yes.
I got comfortable with failing. I think a lot of people struggle with confidence because they got straight A's.
Yeah.
They always were attractive. They didn't have as much adversity in their youth. And they don't realize, this is actually very powerful. I don't think I've ever articulated this. I don't think people realize that are good at everything in their youth, that they actually were using their fear to stay away from things that they weren't going to be naturally good at.
Yes. Oh my God.
I see a lot of kids avoiding competition because they don't want to lose. So they get to say they're good at everything, but they're actually just good at a couple of things. They don't try everything. They don't try most things. I think when I think about confidence, I think it becomes very grounded in a relationship of losing. I've never heard that. Give me the Latin term. What's the definition for confidence?
It's fidere, and it's like confianza. Like in Spanish, confianza is trust.
Yes.
Trusting yourself. And so I share that because then I'm like, you don't have to say I'm not confident or I am. I'm like, do you trust yourself?
Do you know why I trust myself blindly? Predominantly because I know how I act when I lose.
That's so good.
I love you. You understand?
Hell yeah.
I don't trust myself based on when I win. That's easy. I believe that there is an incredible, incredible correlation to one's relationship with losing and their confidence.
Do you feel like that your mom and your upbringing helped you with the humility? Because I will say, when I met you in Melbourne and every time I've seen you, like, oh, fuck, you're just humble. You've stayed the same person. You're kind, you're caring, you're loving. You take photos with people. Like, you're just so kind and humble. And I feel like it's a trait that not a lot of people have, and you fucking have it. Do you feel like that supported you as well with the humility side of things?
You know, I appreciate you saying that. And I think humility comes from the losing. I don't think I'm special because I've tasted losing so much.
Mm-mm.
And this goes back to what I think is the ingredients of confidence. Trusting yourself is knowing you're good during bad times. I feel like I always say I'm a wartime general. Like I'm at my best when it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fuck. That's so good. Your message, right, is always about the empathy and the compassion. And it's such a message that the world needs. I think it's always needed it. But from when I was following you in 2017 to now, it's like it's amplified from your end, which is beautiful because it's needed. Have you done any like personal work, coaching, therapy, personal development, like to develop you, the person, you, Gary, the man, the dad, the person? And how important do you think it is like self-development and growth?
I hadn't for the majority of my life, but over the last, ironically, probably, you know, to your point, 6-7 years. And I don't really feel overly affected on my content because of this work. It was more about real stuff going on in my life. I had a come to Jesus moment in the last 5-7 years where I realized, and it's crazy because Gary Vee, me, it's my authentic self, but in this setting, when he's doing public content, he's really good at candor. I've done therapy, I've done work, and it's been predominantly around me becoming better at candor with my close relationships, not my public life where I'm very good at it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been very fruitful and I feel like I'm better everything, including CEO, including father and all that.
Oh, I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's so important. People don't see that behind the scenes.
I think there's a fine balance back to purple and black and white. Like I love that people are being more vulnerable today, but I will say in the growth of vulnerability, we need growth and accountability. People become very good at blaming mom and dad for all their problems. Oh, this all sucks because my mom did this. Got it. Let me do the work. No. Yes, comma, you're a big boy now. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
When I talk about being better at candor, I never bring up what I know to be true about what got me there. I always say, watch what I do, not what I say. I champion my parents, maybe more than, I don't know, but I'm a human being. There's things my parents did that I think were misturns, miscues. I never talk about those things.
Yeah.
Talk about my dad, maybe not like in the work environment on certain things, but not me, like things he did that I, and so I think more people should look at that. Mm. I think people need to look at accountability. I think people are finally looking to be a little more vulnerable and things of that nature. But I think accountability is on the decline, which is leading to a lot of the unhappiness in the world. I believe the quickest path to happiness is accountability. Once you realize that everything is your fault, you actually become happier. I mean, there's real shit in the world.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm one of them. I hear you.
So when I talk to my friends in private, this is less public talk or acquaintances or business people, if they ever like, you know, I'm so out there, people feel comfortable with the way I roll. I get into some deep ass combos.
Yeah.
I say to them all the time, because I can't relate. It's very hard to relate with somebody who's had an extreme thing happen. But I do say this to them every time, no matter how, I mean, tears in my eyes for hearing their story, I will still say, because I feel responsible for it. Hey, just to remind you, if anybody on earth with the same exact circumstances as you has ever done the work to get to a content and happy place, well, then you can too. Because a lot of people use their damage or their negative story as an excuse to never evolve.
That's exactly why this podcast exists, because I had a fucked up life, sexually abused, foster care, my dad kidnapped me, my husband died, broke my back.
Yeah, let's just, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want everyone who's listening to this. You just rattled off 4 things that if 90%, 80%, 70% of the audience had one of those things happen.
Yeah.
My grandmother, may she rest in peace, Esther, brought up being a widow every day of her life. When I got older, I tried to explain to her, I'm like, Grandma, like, I get it, but you can't use that you've been widowed as an excuse for every single thing you do, because unfortunately, hundreds of millions of people in the test of time have been widowed.
Yeah, we got to move it.
You got to move it, not for anyone but yourself.
Yeah. And we can.
Exactly. Before you start moving it, you know how people say, no, Sally, you got to do this for your kids. Fuck that.
Fuck that. Yeah, 100%.
Sally, you got to do this for you. And once you do it for you, then it will happen for the kids.
Exactly. I love that. That's my favorite video. Like, hello, I have a million, but that video that's pinned on your Instagram with that lady, that's like, how do I become more confident? Because obviously I talk about this. And I'm just like, you need a model. Like, you, they're going to watch who you're being, not what you say. They don't listen to what we say. It's the best message for kids.
100%.
I love you. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care.